Well, y'all glad to be in church tonight? Well, get your Bibles out tonight. I want to share a word with you. Thank you, Jesus. Timothy, I got an echo up here. I don't know if y'all got an echo or just I got an echo. Maybe coming back in the monitors. I want you to go, just turn in your Bibles because you need to go there and learn where it is anyway. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Old Testament, start out there. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. There's a story here about Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son, who became king after Solomon died. And I'm going to tell you the story. It starts in chapter 10, goes to chapter 11. But after he took the throne of his father, you know, then immediately somebody rose up and wanted to challenge his authority. And so he heard about the situation going on, knew what was taking place. And so in chapter 11, verse 1, he goes and he gets all of the men of war and he gathers all of them together and he gets them all together and he's ready to go to war and he's going to go battle Israel, right? And because Jeroboam has risen up in Israel and started basically a coup. And it says in verse 2, he's all ready for battle, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 2, it says, the word of the Lord came to Shimei, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the of Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up and fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam. So just imagine this scene. Rehoboam is a powerful man. I think he had 100,000+ men ready for battle. They're all ready for battle. He's gathered them. They're there. They're ready. They're sharpening their swords. They've got their armor on. They're ready to go to war. And he is smart enough, if you'll let me say it like that, to listen to the prophet of that day speak to him. Are y'all following me? Because the one man, the one prophet comes out and says, listen, I heard God, and he said, don't go to battle. You know how hard that would be to not go fight? Right? The army's called. They're all out there. They're ready to go to battle. He looks across. You don't even see that he said to the prophet, yeah, but don't you understand? I mean, Israel is risen up over there. Jeroboam's coming. He's going to come over. He's going to give me fits from now on. We got to do something about this guy. I mean, come on. You know God would want me to do this. Right? That's what we do. God says, no, listen, I want you to do this. And we're like, no, but God, don't you understand? We've got a better idea than you do. We've got a plan that will work. I just need you to help me get my plan going. But he didn't. It says, but he just said, okay, and they all went home. Right? Rehoboam, he's not a good king. He does some wicked things, but I want to tell you something. Right there, he made the smartest decision of his life. He heard the prophet of God speak to him, and he obeyed. Okay? Now, I can guarantee you that God is speaking to each and every one of you, speaking to all of us every day, trying to give us direction, trying to get us to walk this path or say this thing or that thing. I guarantee you the burning bush experiences of your life, they do come along just once in a while. But the everyday voice of God speaking to you and giving you direction is always there. Proverbs says wisdom is always crying out. It's always crying out in the streets. It's always trying to talk to you. It's always trying to speak to you. God is always wanting to give you direction. If you're in here tonight and you need direction, okay, you've been praying about something, you've been asking for direction, I want you to know God wants you to get it. I was reading John 16 the other day. And I was just so amazed that it says, listen, ask the Father anything in my name. ask the Father anything in my name, and he'll give it to you because he wants your joy to be full. Now, what are you going to do? Cut that out of the Bible? I mean, that means Jesus' own lips is saying God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to talk to you. He wants to direct you because he wants you to be happy. Hello? God wants you to be happy. Everybody say, God wants me to be happy. He wants you to be happy. I mean, I could just sit here and quote scriptures to you all night long. God wants to give you the desires of your heart, right? I mean, there's scripture after scripture after scripture. God wants you to have peace. God wants you, you know, there's just overwhelming scripture after word upon word that God wants us full of joy. He wants us happy. He wants us walking in prosperity. He wants us walking in victory. Amen? And he's always speaking to us, but the problem is we don't have so good of listeners. Because just like in that, just imagine how easy it would have been for Rehoboam to say, okay, is there another prophet? Is there somebody else around here that could have a word? I mean, I really don't like this guy's word. You know, like we always used to joke about, you need to carry a piece of lead around in your pocket. So sometimes you can just reach in your pocket and say, well, I don't know, I don't really feel lead about that. Or I do feel lead about that. You with me? I mean, there's a lot of good things in this world. And there's a lot of, you know, it's like I was telling the ladies who were down on the trip to Guatemala. I said, man, people have come to me over the years with all kinds of good projects and good things. And I've run across other ministers doing great works and great things. But I found my honey hole. I found the place where God wanted us to do. And I found that when I stepped into it, there was this amazing amount of grace. Folks, listen to me. Things that happen in this church and happen that of people that I run across, it just doesn't happen everywhere. And the only reason why it does is because we're doing what God wants us to do. When we walk in that, there's grace, and I heard his voice. I had, let me just give you a little example. I had prayed because we're trying to figure out this water system that we're trying to get installed in the children's orphanage. And one person said we could do it for $2,000. And another person said, no, it would take $100,000. That's a pretty big spread. So I'm like, either this guy is really wrong or this guy is really wrong. You know, is there any middle ground in here? I mean, come on. I mean, that's huge. And so I just said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if that, of course, I want the $2,000 one to be right, right? I want to pray, oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. But I don't know if it's right. So I had to start praying. And I said, Lord, you got the answer. I know you have the answer. You have the answer. You can make this thing work out. You're going to tell me what it is. I thank you, Lord, I began to pray. This came up out of my spirit as I was just seeking the Lord. I said, you're going to send me the right person that can tell me what to do. Because that's really what I need. I need the person that knows, who's done this, who's in this business, that knows what he's doing, to come and be able to say, Robert, this is the way to go, or that's the way to go. Monday, Sunday evening, I spoke to a person. I told him I was praying for this and needed this. Monday afternoon, right after lunch, get a phone call from a guy who is the CEO of a huge, huge, huge water company. And what they do is make potable water all around the world. Hundreds of thousands of gallons every day. And he called me. And I'm like, I'm dumbfounded. And I was like, well, I have this situation. And he says, well, listen, we have a team of people here. I don't really know your situation. Can you send me the plans of what's going on? And I had him on my phone. And I said, yeah, I'll send them right to you. Give me your email. Send him the email. He said, I'll get to you by the end of the week. He said, I'll get my team of people looking at this to see if this is what's your best solution. I mean, we're talking a multi-million dollar company. And I have the president seeking out what we need from. Who gets things like that? Are you with me? Who gets things happening like that? You see, it's when you step into the plan that God has for you that things work. I learned a long time ago, I do not want to pry doors open with the crowbar of Robert. I want the door to open by the power of God. Y'all with me? Okay, so it would have been so easy for Rehoboam to just said, look at it. We can see the answer. But he listened to the voice of God. That's why in this day and this age, it's so important that we develop a relationship with God, that we hear the voice of God on a regular basis. So that's what I want to talk to you about, okay? Developing that voice, hearing the voice of God, developing the hearing ear to hear what God's talking about. And so there's only two ways that I know of. Listen, there's only two ways that I know of. And it's really only one, but I want to tell you two. But there's really only one because it's all the same thing. I'm just dividing it up. I'm splitting hairs here. There's only two ways you're going to ever hear the Word of God or God's voice to you. Number one is the Word of God. Okay? And number two is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the reason why I say it's really only one, because it's really only developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you hear God's voice. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates the Word that speaks to you. Okay? Without the Word, I mean, when Gutenberg printed the very first Bible, that was probably the most amazing thing that ever happened on the face of the earth, to get God's instrument into the hands of people where they could read God's Word and He could speak to them. Just think about that. This guy that's making, and I would, you know, we'll get to heaven and we'll find out, but I bet you if you talk to him, he didn't really think it was, I mean, I think he thought it was a big deal, but I don't think he would have known the power that was really being released by him just printing the Bible so we could read it. But you have to understand something. Even in Jesus' day, they were reading the Bible. We just didn't know it as the Bible because it wouldn't put together with chapters and verses. It was the Torah. It was, you know, the books of Moses. It was these scroll parchments that were in the temple that were the guys read from, right? But if you'll let me say, you know, it was the Bible. They had the Old Testament. And they knew the Old Testament. They read the Old Testament. So they had the Word of God, the living Word of God, breathing out to them. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit with them at all times. They weren't empowered by the Holy Spirit. They weren't indwelt by the Holy Spirit, where God said, and I'm just going to say it like this, you know, because it's just me. We got to do something for these stupid sheep. They aren't going to get it. Let's get a Bible in their hand, fill them full of the Holy Ghost, and maybe they can hear. I doubt he said it like that, but you get my point, right? It's so funny. I feed my sheep corn. And I put it in a bucket, a plastic bucket, and I dip it out of there and I pour it in. And when that corn hits that bucket, the hills come alive with the sound of music. The sheep begin to blate, come tearing out everywhere. They hear the sound of the whoosh. And so many times when I walk out and I do that, and it's kind of funny because I usually feed the dogs first in the morning. So the dog food hits the pan first. That's the first signal. And then the corn goes in the bucket, and boy, they're at the gate, right? And I said, Lord, let me be that attentive to your voice. But why does it happen? Because I do it all the time. I do it every morning, almost at the same time. We're all a little messed up with our time as the days, you know, didn't get light quick enough, and so everybody's a little, they're all looking at me like, aren't you a little early today? And then the time's going to change, and they're going to be messed up, standing at the gate saying, hey, where are you? But you with me? It's because I habitually go out and feed them that they habitually, they hear that sound, and when they hear that sound, they come running. That's what we should be. When we hear the sound of the voice of God, when we're so getting attuned to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word and ministering to us, that we hear that sound, we hear the corn falling in the bucket, that man, we come running because we know we're going to hear from God. That's the Christian life, folks. That is the excitement of the Christian life. Not waking up every morning and saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do today? What's going to happen today? What problems are going to walk through today? Man, listen to me. You can be knee deep in problems, but if you're here in the bucket, the corn fall in the bucket of the Spirit of God, man, it doesn't make any difference. Because God has an answer for you. You just have to walk in it. You just have to hear and be attuned to His voice. And you have to be like Rehoboam. You've gathered the army because that's what you thought. Oh, I'm sorry. Go home, guys. We're not having war today. I heard the voice of God and He said, don't go to war. This is really of Him. So we're just going to wait on this. Put your swords up. God, this is story is supposed to be my mind. Wasn't it 100,000? 180,000. 180,000 people gathered ready to go to battle. And he just says, oh, I'm sorry, go home. It would seem that the peer pressure upon him, he would have gone to battle. So he was a pretty smart cookie. Right? The peer pressure, yeah, he didn't keep with it. He was an idiot on later, but he did good there. Chapter 11, he gets a gold star. Now, what I want to say is, and what I want to go with this message is that if there's not this habitual, methodical time that you're spending with God, you're going to have a real hard time hearing His voice. Excuse me. Because, you know, how many of you guys, we've ever been hunting before? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're whatever you're doing. If you're sitting in a blind, you're looking out and you're looking at everything. You're looking. Then all of a sudden, you start to see bush deer. Right? Why are you seeing bush deer? Because you want to see a deer, and you're just wanting to see a deer so bad. Next thing you know, you got bush deer standing out there. That's nothing but a bush that looks like a deer to you, and it didn't look like a deer a while ago, but now you got bush deer. Now you're hunting bush deer. You're not hunting real deer. Have you ever noticed? I mean, you've had to experience this. When you've hunted and you're looking and you found the bush deer, and then you keep looking at the bush deer and you stare at the bush deer, when the real deer walks up, sometimes you're like, what's that? Oh, that's a deer. Oh, okay, that was looking at the bush deer. Right? Because that's what you get focused on. The same thing in life. When you get focused on something that's not God, it may be a similitude. All right? But it's not really the voice of God. You get to listening to that and get to attune to that. You may be doing nothing but listening to your crazy emotions or your goofy head, right? That's where it gets to where nothing works except when you have spent time on a consistent basis. And then all of a sudden, it's a bush deer. I'm hunting real deer, right? So go to Book of Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. Luke is writing the account of Acts here, and he says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. You see, there was a change that took place. We've got to remember this. Jesus had been on earth and he was walking on earth, but after the resurrection, he goes and sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the agent he sends to earth to be with us all, right? According to John 14, I'm just going to go fast here for a minute because y'all know the scriptures. In John 14, he said, man, I don't want to leave you orphans, right? But I want to come to you. I want to send the helper. You need a helper. I don't want you to be orphans. Okay? So the agent on the earth that he sent was the Holy Spirit. If we don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then you're missing the whole setup that he has for you to hear his voice. Years and years ago, I read Benny Hinn's book on Welcome, Holy Spirit, or Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I remember after I read that book, I was just, and I got to tell you, you know, God bless Benny Hinn. I don't have anything against him, you know, whatever, but, you know, he's not my kind of guy, right? He's a little too flamboyant for me. But, you know, then much past who I am is a little bit flamboyant. So, you know, that puts it way down the scale. But I'm just saying, it really impacted me. And then I got up that every morning I would wake up and I said, good morning, Holy Spirit. And the acknowledgement of in my life of just every day saying, good morning, Holy Spirit, how you doing? What's the good word of the Lord today? Getting out my Bible and saying, okay, now show me in the scriptures what you'd have for me to know today. Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to see today? And then I'd pray and say all day long, Holy Spirit, just as I'm going, just would you please just open my eyes and let me see the situations that go on and take place in life and what I need to do and what I need to say and help me to be attuned and not just caught up in the world and the flow of everything going on. And as I started doing this, man, the world started opening up to me. All I was doing, the Holy Spirit had always been there. I was just starting to acknowledge that He was there. And it really changed my walk with Jesus because I became more attuned to hearing the voice of God in my life. Now, remember, it's the Word and the Holy Spirit that's going to speak to you. If you just want to major on the Holy Spirit and you don't want to major in any in the Word, then you're getting out of balance. Then before long, all you're looking for and listening for is voices and winds and signs and wonders and this and that and the other. You're not basing yourself and keeping the stability of what the Word says. You with me? I remember when Laura and I were trying to build the house that we live in. And I kept thinking, man, I don't know if I can do this, I can do this, maybe I can do this, maybe I can do that, oh, I could do this, I could do that, maybe I'll turn around and do this, and oh, I could do this. And I went through this whole gamut of things, and I went forever, and finally I gave up and said, you know, Lord, I ain't going to build a house. This is just too hard. It's ridiculous. And then it was about a month goes by, and I'm reading in Proverbs, and it says, prepare your foundation and build your house. And I was like, what? But then I had the confidence to know that God had spoken to me. I knew what was going on. It jumped off the page at me when I read it. I wasn't going through, you know, the concordance searching words for houses and building and trying to tie them all together and make something jump out to me. Oh, that's what the Word says. I'm going to claim that. No, it leapt off the page a day when I was not even thinking about, although I had started out, good morning, Holy Spirit. Lord, show me what you have in the Word for me today. Turn the page. Boom, there it was. The other day, I was doing my daily reading, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, start reading the book of Isaiah. And I said, well, you know, Lord, forever, I've just read 5 chapters every morning. Now, if you want me to read 6, I mean, I guess I can read 6, you know. I started, I said, what am I doing? I argue with you, Lord, just read the book of Isaiah. So what? Put it in there, read it. It's not going to kill me. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, my first deal started to be argumentative. I couldn't believe it, Bruce. I was like, what are you talking about? If you said, read Isaiah, read Isaiah. So what? And I really can say that I haven't had anything leap off there to me. I haven't had, but I'm, you know, I'm only on chapter 16, I think, or chapter 22. Chapter 22. So what all I'm saying is that we got to hear, we got to be obedient, right? And it's the balance of the Word and the Spirit that gives us that firm root that then when we walk, we know that we're on target, right? And if one gets out of balance in the other one, well, then we start to get lopsided. If there's just too much Word and no Spirit, you become religious. Too much Spirit and no Word, you just become flaky. Cornflakes. Right? There has to be that balance that keeps us steady in life. The ship has to be, you know, the right amount of weight on each side of the ship so that it goes through the water equally. Okay? But he says here that the Holy Spirit is the agent that's going to make it happen. Now, I want to show you something here. Just go to Acts chapter 3. I mean, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2. No, don't go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Joel chapter 2. Old Testament, Joel. Book of Joel. Chapter 2. Now, don't hold my feet to the fire on this, but about 800 years before Acts chapter 2 comes to pass, the day of Pentecost, Joel prophesies. And it was recorded, it was written down. All right? And it says, and it shall come to pass, I'm in verse 28, Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now look what it says. I'm going to read it again. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now that's kind of, these people are Jews. They're only Jewish. But the prophecy that came out of Joel's mouth when he spoke it out said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. That went against what the religious people of the day were saying, because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was only on the priests and the prophets and the kings. Right? And now all of a sudden he's saying he's going to pour it out on all flesh. Do you know how radical that prophecy would have been when Joel spoke it out 800 years before Jesus came on planet Earth? He says, your young men are going to see visions, your old men are going to dream dreams, and on my servants, on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. Okay? Now go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So then you know the story from 5 through 13. Everybody's arguing about what's going on. Verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all of who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you that you heed my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So Peter is quoting the word. The Holy Spirit falls, and the first thing that comes out of Peter's mouth, I guess after speaking in tongues, was the word. And he quotes the prophecy of Joel that was roughly 800 years spoken prior. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Again, he says, he's quoting it. How's he quoting it? Did somebody at that moment run, well, they were in the temple, did somebody run over there, grab the Torah, the scroll that had Joel's name on it, unroll it, did he read it off of it? Where'd it come from? Somebody been preaching the book of Joel, and Peter heard it, and it was down in his heart. Are y'all with me? Just like y'all. Today, tonight, hearing the Word of God, seeing the Word of God, getting it down in your heart for the time that you need it. You see, if you don't have the Word of God in your heart, then when the time comes that you need it, you got nothing to say. Peter did not have his pocket Bible. He didn't have his iPhone 5 or 6 that he whipped out and said, here, wait a minute, let me look up this scripture. So could we say Peter was a word man? Peter was a word man, and at the moment the Holy Spirit illuminated him, he said, now I get it. This was what we've been hearing since Sunday school. This is what, it makes sense now. I see it. The Holy Spirit came out and it's on all, I see it. It makes so much sense now. The prophecy that was spoken 800 years prior to Joel saying, what did I just say? Till Peter saying, this is it. This is the word. Wow. This is what Joel spoke 800 years ago. Today has come to pass. Are y'all with me here? So, this is what blows my mind about the situation. So instantaneously from the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, immediately there's revelation from the Word. We all think maybe we got onto something new. You know, through all the faith teachers and all the faith teaching and from the 70s till now, we really caught something new. We didn't catch anything new. We just finally figured out what they did in old that we finally started doing. Wow, how novel. Have the Holy Spirit illuminate the Word to you. Are you with me, church? I'm not preaching something new. I'm preaching something that's thousands of years old. I'm preaching something that is literally was already preached thousands of years ago. We just get to go back and read it today and see it say, now it makes sense. Are y'all with me? So every morning, the Holy Spirit wants to take the word and do just what he did to Peter there and bring about a revelation to him and say, oh, I get it now. I see. I see what you're saying, Lord. This is what you're talking about. You've got to understand something. I will have to go see the DVD when we get to heaven. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but when we get to heaven and see the DVD of Joel prophesying, we don't know anything about, you know, we know that the kingdom was of Israel was in trouble and was in turmoil at the time. They had a bad king, and we know this kind of stuff, but we don't know the setting. It doesn't tell us. One day, Joel was walking down the road, and he was struck by the Spirit of God, and spoke, and we don't know. We don't know his setting. We don't know if he spoke it in the morning, in the evening, in the sanctuary, or where this came about, where he got the word and wrote it down. We don't know, right? We don't know all those things. We don't know if Joel was sitting down one morning drinking coffee. And the Spirit of God welled up on the inside of me. He prophesied it. They wrote it down. I don't know. But all I do know is Peter knew what he was doing. And I can look at Peter as my example and say, man, he leaped on the word and said, this is what is happening. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was there. So every morning, the relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit, illuminating the word of God to you, is what's going to propel your whole entire life. Hello? But it's got to be word that's in your heart. Word that you've seen, word that you've sown. So, I'm going to close because I don't want to keep going. I don't want to get into the next point. We're going to be here for another hour. But this is what we have to do. This is where we are in life. This is where we have to develop ourselves just like Peter. This relationship with the Holy Spirit illuminating the word to us to see the revelations of what God wants us to do. Amen? All your answers are right there. All your answers are right there. And he will lead you and he'll guide you and he'll direct you and tell you everything it needs to be. And when you have difficult situations, God will make it happen. How? I don't know. I don't know how he does it. He's just cool. He's the Holy Ghost. He can just make it happen. How does somebody call me like that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, glory to God. Hallelujah. Peace on earth and goodwill to all our men. Look at the person beside you and say, man, I got to get home and read. Amen. Well, let's just help me now. Let's take up our offering.